All right, if you would go ahead and turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 41. I'm thankful for the day that he touched me. Brother Tim Ramsey was preaching, and it was August 4th, 2011, and he came by. If I could explain it in words the way that it felt in my soul, you would literally be able to smell the fire or the smoke of hell on my breath. I'm thankful for what the Lord's done in my life and for his mercy and grace. So go ahead and turn to Isaiah 41 if you're not already there, and stand when you're there. All right, we're going to read verses 10 through 13. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and thou shalt find not them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will behold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God again tonight. Lord, I thank you for the sweet spirit that we felt this far. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach, Lord, saving a worthless sinner like me, Lord, and not only doing that, but calling me to preach is an honor that I'll never be able to repay. But Lord, I ask that you would just use me tonight, Lord God. Let nothing of myself be spoken, but everything for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what we see in here is, especially verse 10, which is going to be our primary focus for tonight, is God is providing many instructions for us here to relax upon, to grow with, to understand. So this is going to be the five reasons to have no fear through this one verse, and then we'll move down through the rest. So as you see in the beginning, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Well, why would you have fear if you know that the Lord's with you at all times? Well, we often forget this. We've gotten saved, but there's times where we don't feel him. Often we'll be confused. It's times where we don't feel the Lord that we get scared. Even though he's always there, we may not feel him at that time, but he is always there. And see, we have strength and courage in knowing that God is always with us. My God is always with us. He's not just Gateway's God, and I just get to come look in at him, but he's my personal God. He's always with me, and he's with me at all times, ever since August 4, 2011, even though there's been many, many times where I failed him, where it seemed that if there was any possible way that for me to lose my salvation, I would be a prime candidate to do it. But he never left me. He brought me back, and he's used me in ways that I can't understand, or why would he use someone like me? See, God is always with us, and he has a perfect will, and he's touching your life in certain ways. That's why when you sin, you need to understand that God's with you, and your sin is hindering the progression of someone else's life. See, we oftentimes, if an individual sins, we like to attack that sin. But see, there's people out in the church or people out in the world that are looking in at you Christians or us Christians, and they're questioning why there's all this backbiting. So you have to understand that God's always with us, and his will is bouncing around on us. It's a set will, but if you get out of it, it's going to harm someone else. It's really sad to understand that your sin could cause someone else to go to hell. It's possible. All right, so we see that we often question God's presence in times of trouble. And you see in Psalm 46, verse 10, and we have relief in seeing that that God is always with us, because the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. And seeing those times of fear and refuge, we can see just what David was writing in Psalm 23, where we see all the provisions that the Lord makes for his flock, for his sheep. And lastly, we see that Jesus himself is saying that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, as in Matthew 28 and verse 20. So we need to have strength and courage in understanding the fact that God is always with us. The King of Kings is always with you. But we oftentimes worry, well, the whole church thinks I'm saved. They think I've been doing everything right for however long I've been alive. I don't really need to get saved, or I'm scared to get saved because they'll think that something's wrong with me, and they'll laugh at me. So you oftentimes don't worry about your relationship with God that's always with you, and you worry about how the church or how your friends at school will look at you. You need to worry about the one that's always with you at all times. Secondly, we see that he is our way to, or here's our way to overcome fear. It says, be not dismayed, for I am your God. He's my God. He's mine, and he just claimed it. I mean, what an honor it is for God himself to say, I am your God. Not I am the God of the entire earth, and he is, but I am your God. And it's an honor to know that I can go at any time through the blood of Jesus Christ that's cleansed me, and I can approach the throne room of God with pride, or not with pride, but with a humble heart, and be able to communicate with the King of Kings as though he's my best friend, but he's my Father, and in a respectful way. And it's something that I can't understand. But this is our way to overcome fear. Find courage in knowing that he is your God. And you see in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, that David found comfort in his dark times by realizing that God is always with him. You can turn over there right quick. You see that 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Not another individual's God, not Brother GW's God, not Tim Ramsey's God, but Hunter Strength's God. This is where I find my courage. This is where I find my strength. It's not, God, would you allow me just to watch God work in GW's life so that way I can walk out in the world in strength? It's, no, God, let me see what you have for me so that I may walk in your will and that I may help get done what you have for me. Lord, I want everything that you have for me. I'm greedy when it comes to what God wants for me. I want to chase down. See, when we got saved, everything was already given to us. It's up to us to walk in the will of God to go and get it back from the devil. Everything is already there. It's all account of what you decide to do. So David found comfort in his dark times by understanding that God is always with him. You might be walking through school and the Lord prick your heart about witnessing to a kid or one of your fellow classmates, and you're afraid that someone else might see you, or that kid might not appreciate what you're doing because he doesn't understand the magnitude of what you're trying to express to him. You're allowing that fear of what the devil saw in your heart as being afraid of another individual that's on this earth to overcloud what God, that individual's creator, has told you to do. This happens a lot. I know that in school I would oftentimes be trying to blend in, not necessarily doing the things that everyone else was doing, but I would be trying to kind of shatter myself in there so I didn't stand out as much. And that's not God's will for your life. When you're saved, you're the salt of the earth. You're meant to stand out. You're meant to stand out. Walk in his will. And realize that he is your God, and take your step out on the faith that he has given you. So we see the first two promises allow us to declare this third one with courage and with strength. It says that he will strengthen us. You see in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, or I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, it's not a maybe I can step out on my faith in Christ, or maybe I'm saved so I can step out on what God has for me. It's, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. This doesn't mean that you can dunk a basketball just because you're saved. This is an incredibly overused verse that people like to just put all over the place. No, it means I can do all things according to the will of God through Christ which strengtheneth me. This isn't I can sing a solo to glorify myself because I know Jesus Christ through Tim Ramsey's preaching. No, this is I can do all things according to the will of Christ who gives me strength. I love that. We'll see the fourth part, the latter part in this verse. It says that he will help us. So not only is he our strength and our courage, and not only is he going to be there with us all the time and providing us ways to conquer our fear because being dismayed and not understanding that he's not our God, but also he'll help us. See, our God is a loving God. He wants to see you succeed in life, not prosperity gospel. Not he wants to see all of us wealthy beyond our wildest dreams. He wants to see you succeed in the will that he has for you. Some of you may not be able to comprehend that God has a perfect will for your life. And even though it might not be exactly what you want, it's what at the end of the day will bring you the most peace because you know you're right with the Lord. You see, leading up to this, we are comforted by his presence, and we are given courage through him, and we know that he is our helper. God has given us all the tools to have a successful Christian life, just in this verse alone. But we also see that not only has he given us these tools just to go out and he'll just watch us, and then when we fall, we have to come back and beg him. No, he's our helper, which means he's always with us, and we already know that he's going to be with us always. So at that time, while we're walking through this life, and he's not just standing back and watching you go and then fall off a cliff or something. No, God's with you at all times. He's your helper. He's a lifter of your head. See, he doesn't give us the tools and watch us fail. I mean, he is our helper. See, David saw this in Psalm 121, verse 2, where he says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And fifth, we see the right hand helping us is the very hand that created existence in itself. We have to understand the God that we serve. We don't serve this God that someone just came in Gateway one day and just magically put this book together, and then we just worship him because this book says so. No, this God created this book through his creation. This is the word of God. This word was not created by man to create God. God created this word for man, his creation. It's mind-blowing that God would allow us to read this Bible. This is a miracle. If you say, I've never seen a miracle, so I can't believe in God, here's your first proof right here. And here's your second proof right here. God saved me from hell, and he gave me his word. We'll see that God is helping us. In the very hand that he's extending in verse 10, it says, I will strengthen thee, and he said, I will help thee, yea, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Well, what does that right hand mean? There's a difference between the right and the left hand. And see, in certain times, there's a left hand. And see, we also see with Christ, we know that the... I'm paraphrasing here. The ones that are saved will go to Christ's right, and the ones that aren't will suffer judgment at the left. We see that you want to be on the right hand of God. God extending his right hand to you is a hand of protection, of fellowship. It's a hand of power, a hand of authority. And he's handing it, and he's grabbing it. But we also see in verse 13, and this is my last point. This is just very quick. I got this like an hour, and I was just praying, and he gave it to me. So this is why I'm preaching to you guys, and you can go eat now. It's great. Okay, we see, lastly, verses 10 and 13, they're almost like they're connected in a certain way because they both reference to the right hand. They both reference to the right hand, you see. But one of them is his right hand, and one of them is my right hand. Well, how does that work if he's standing beside me? No, see, we have to understand that our eyes are closed when we're in that dark spot and we're not understanding what's going on. Our eyes are closed. But see, with that right hand that's up, is he's facing me. And when I open my eyes and see what's there, that's peace. That's what God wants you to see, is open your eyes, take those scales off your eyes. He revealed to you that he's there and that you're saved. And we oftentimes will get lost in this world of sin, and we'll try to blend in with individuals. And then when we try to blend in with them, we're like, God, am I even really saved? And it's not necessarily because you're not saved, which if you're not saved, I'm not giving you assurance that you are. But if you're saved and you're backsliding on God, don't expect to feel peace in your heart all the time. The peace in your heart is through this word of God. You grow with God. This is God's mind. And when you open it up, you're seeing his thoughts. And then when you're praying, you're speaking to God. And he'll work in his word to manifest what he wants done in your life through that. But you see that God wants almost fellowship with you in a way that's unimaginable. That God himself, we can't see him, but we know that he has my right hand. And see, by taking that right hand, it's not he's reaching across his body or I have to do something and reach over him. It's he's standing right in front of me. Almost in a way that everywhere I go, he's already been there because he's taking a step back because I'm moving forward. He's already been there. He's already know what's going on. And it's me uncovering what I think, what I'm blinding myself with to see what God has in store for me. This is a very quick message, and I hope that maybe you'll go home and you'll read this and you'll kind of manifest or you'll kind of meditate on it, because the Lord did a lot in my heart with it. I thought it was just a very interesting little passage of Scripture, and I appreciate the opportunity to preach. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord God, that you would just take the Word and that you would just allow it just to plant a seed in an individual's heart, Lord God, and allow them to grow in their relationship with you. Father, I thank you for the fellowship. I thank you for meeting with us today, Lord God, and I ask that you would just bless us on our way home, Lord God, and I ask that you would just receive glory in the rest of this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.